You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I am one of the hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast, and join me on the other line for our usually it's a Monday show, but I was traveling on Sunday night, so we could not record. So our now Tuesday show for this week, but is Tony East. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm good. I'm glad we get to get the weekly pod out so I can tell everyone that I beat you once again in the scores for last week.
You missed it. The biggest eye roll on earth as I tried to pull up the East innings. I don't know. We never picked anything.
We both picked a 15-point win against the Magic, right? Or a 12-point win against the Magic.
Oh, the game today? Oh, I was like talking about like what happens when you win this whole thing.
We'll conclude we both guessed this game exactly right, and then the next two games are the ones that count.
That's fine. It'd be hard, though, because if they get blown out, it would be hard to pick how bad we think they're going to lose on Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, they have a tough week this week, which we will preview for sure.
Yeah, so before we get to the week, let's just talk about today's Magic game a little bit. So Pacers, like you hit it, they won by 12. They won 121-109. Probably the biggest highlight of the game was Victor Oladipo started 11 for 11. I think he finished 11 or probably 12 of 14, it looked like.
11 of 14. Yeah.
So he did not end perfect, but there was one point where he had a heat check moment where he and the shot clock threw up his off-balance three and just banked it in. And at that moment, it's like, oh, this guy's not going to miss. It felt like all day.
Yeah, that was his 11th make, and that really fired up the crowd too, because that was in the middle of a run where Lance had just scored, and it shot everybody up.
Yeah, especially because it was at a moment where the Pacers were – the lead had kind of shrunk just a tiny bit. Like, they were probably only up 4 or 5. You know, the Magic cut it to 1, I think, to start the quarter, actually, the fourth quarter. So it was a little tighter game than the Pacer fans, I think, wanted it to be. Pacers led most of the game, got up to about a 12-point lead, I think, or maybe even bigger than that in the early second half, but then it slowly faded away. So overall, this was a nice rebound win after their loss. Oladipo returned. Obviously, he was hurt. He looked fine. Knee seems fine. No long-term issues. Miles Turner did get his ankle taped up, right? You said that when the first half you saw him come back out of the locker room, he got his ankle taped up?
In the first half, I was the half I was at the game for, and he bonked his head on Vucevic. I don't know how to say his name. The announcer kept saying Vucevic. I'm going to roll with that.
That's what it's, Vucevic.
Bumped his head on his elbow, and then he left the game with a trainer, concussion protocol or something, and especially since he had one cautionary. But then he came out with his ankle taped. So I think he's okay, but it was still a weird moment. Side note, the possession after the Vic banked three to go 11 for 11 was that nasty Lance Stephenson to Sabonis pass that just fired up Banker's life. What a fun run of play from the fun team.
Yeah, the no-look dunk or no-look pass to the dunk. Then Stephenson, I think, hit a three before that. Joseph hit a three before that. Like, that whole sequence basically took the Pacers from probably a 7-point lead to like an 18-point and kind of sealed the game up, which is really solid for them. So this is the second time they'd seen the Magic, I think in 1 week, right? Then they play them last Monday.
Yeah, the Magic were 8-5, and now they're 8-13.
Yeah, they sort of grabbed them at the right time.
7-5. They are stumbling, and the Pacers caught them at a great time. Vogel got a nice rousing cheer from the crowd when he was introduced, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, he should. He was probably – I mean, Pacers have had some pretty good coaches in their history, but he had a really good run with the Pacers. It didn't end – you know, he didn't end on bad terms. It just, he was let go by Larry Bird. It wasn't anything like, you know, any hostile environment. He just got let go. So I think Pacer fans should treat him well. He's kind of an Indiana guy. I think he was an assistant here under O'Brien and all that stuff. So I'm glad he got a standing ovation. The other thing during this game was, well, there are two things, but the one thing I want to really talk about is Bojan Bogdanović, because Pacers are now 11-1 in games where he has 15 or more points, which made that stat just, Tony will never stop using. That means what? They are 1-8 in games where he doesn't score 15 points?
Yeah, that's a pretty bad win percentage in games where Bojan doesn't play well. It's like he's crucial to the team's success or something.
You know, he probably is. I'm watching him. So what I love most about Bojan is So he's not like the longest, like he's not, he doesn't have the physical attributes that make him like, that makes him great NBA players. You know, he doesn't have like ridiculously long arms. You know, he's tall, obviously, but like he doesn't have, he's not like super strong, super fast. But when he goes to the rim every time, he missed a shot or gets fouled, he does that like old Paul George thing, but he has like a funnier face than Paul when he looks mad. He's like, you know, the ref, he's got this like, you know, his hair is fading on. It's just, it's very, he has a very old man look to him, but he's really solid. I mean, he's probably, I mean, around the rim, he's been awesome. He's, I don't know what his shooting range from three at this point, but it was at 50% at one point over some stretch. So he's been awesome this past 2 weeks.
Tonight, again, he's like weirdly good in transition. Rim, we talked about it a little bit, but that's like a biggest from Price, still an even more absurd percent on his corner threes. So crucial. And even when he's not hitting his shots, he's just spacing the floor, but currently at 45.5% from three, and around the rim, he's shooting 63% to 3 feet. Just an he's going to lead this.
You keep breaking up there. So if there's any difficulties, I'm sorry for that. I think Tony still got him on line. But yes, Bogdanović has been awesome. And then another player too had a really good night was Lance Stevenson. We talked about it in the home stretch now. I think he has 18, 16, and 18 points, which is his last three home games, which is awesome for a guy, for him, first of all. And it's awesome to the Pacers team because he's been kind of their fourth quarter guy. I mean, he basically willed him to a win against the Raptors. He played really well tonight. And when he is going, the fans are excited, and it just kind of is a morale boost for this whole team.
Yeah, he didn't lead the team. He had 18 points, which is tied for a season high. He led the team with 8 rebounds, and he led the team while tied with 5 assists. So he's really energizing the offense in multiple ways. He had a few of these plays that I hate where, like, they swing the ball around the perimeter to him, and he catches it in the corner, and then he fakes the pass, so he ruins the flow of the passing, and then he fakes a pass into the post, and then he shot fakes, and then he dribbles twice, and he shot fakes, and then he takes a long two, and he misses it. And I'm like, dang it, Lance. And then the next position, he does something awesome. So he's like inconsistent on a possession-to-possession basis, but he's been at least better and more fun recently.
So you were right about Bogdanović. Are you ready to admit you were wrong about Lance? You know, you can't be right about everything.
No, it's funny because when did we say that I was right that he was terrible like 5 or 6 games in, and now he's playing good, so I'm wrong. But
yeah, but it was also the flip side for Bogdanović. You were wrong about him to start the season, and then he got hot. So it goes both ways.
Right. No, I've been wrong about Lance recently. That's for sure. If he keeps this up, at least the rotation's good. And that's part of what I talked about, why he's so important was in that Celtics game, is because even if like he's not the greatest, he's so much better than Damian Wilkins. So like when Vic goes down and you need Lance to play, it's good when Lance plays, but it's bad when Wilkins plays. So
yes, that Celtics game had some weird lineups.
Very weird. Yeah, the Joe Young Wilkins minutes were the strangest thing ever against Brad Stevens. But I already talked about that.
Yeah, and at one point it was actually succeeding because they were – the first half they were doing pretty well. But that's another point I want to hit, though, what you were talking about is the 8-man rotation. So recently McMillan has basically shrunk the lineup, kind of put a leap to the side, and basically just gone with 8 guys. He might not have tonight in garbage time, but for most of the game he's been going with 8 rotation. I want to look up tonight's last 4 minutes real quick.
But he pretty much has done 8-man since the Heat game last Sunday.
Yeah, and he went 8-8 tonight, and it's worked really well for him. You know, I don't know why. I mean, I guess it makes sense because they don't really have any, you know, there's no guy on their bench who say, oh, he should be playing minutes. Like Leaf, maybe he should be playing minutes, but he's too young and he can't play defense yet. Al Jefferson's too slow. Wilkins is too slow. Joe Young doesn't know how to play basketball that well, and he's still. So, you know, it's worked for now. Hopefully they get Robinson back soon to make it 9-man, because I think 8-man rotations make it really hard. You know, on guys' minutes, because I guess Bogdanović played 37 minutes, a lot for him, but Oladipo only played 33. You just don't want these guys playing 37 minutes consistently for 82 games because they will just burn out.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully that's not a thing, because it's weird that Turner and Oladipo have both had some minor tweaking injuries in the week since they started going to 8. It's probably just a coincidence, but still.
Yeah, I think the Oladipo injury, I mean, we were live at that game. We went to the game, and it was just like a fluke kind of where he flew in a lane and I don't even know how he hurt his knee. I think he fell on it or something like that. But, you know, I guess Oladipo always has that risk because he plays at such a high speed and intensity that, you know, he's always could hurt himself at any moment because he's always running into the crowd. You know, he had even a play today where he flipped the ball behind him and I think he basically ran into the cameraman. That's always dangerous. So there's always been a possibility of that. But they haven't had any manner. I mean, yeah, Turner tweaked his ankle. Oladipo hurt his knee. But that's just wear and tear of a season, right? That happens usually every season if you guys get some dinks and nicks throughout the season. It's just what happens when you play basketball every other night.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, I like the rotation when it plays like this because it seems to be working, but we'll have to see long-term how it plays out. If it holds up till GR3 returns, it'll be good to go.
Yeah, and actually just some box score things from the Magic game. It was kind of a weird game because both Thad Young and Collison did not play that well, but then Stevenson and Sabonis played pretty well, and so did Turner. I mean, you only had five guys in double figures, which is kind of odd, I guess, in some sense, but you know, it worked out. Thad Young had a really bad game again. And I know he had a pretty decent game against the Raptors. So he's been kind of, you know, if his shooting's been kind of iffy. And I wonder, you know, if he keeps up this kind of poor shooting, if he can stay in the starting lineup.
Yeah. The opposing big men on the Magic were 11 for 28 from the field. So some good defense overall that's just Biombo, Spates, and Vucevic, by the way. But so good defense from the centers. I thought that had been really consistent this year, and this was just an outlier game. I actually wrote about that literally today.
I mean, this is the third one in 2 weeks he's had bad. I mean, he had 0-for-7, 2-for-8, and a 1-for-9 game three times the past 9 games.
Yeah, and it's weird because in those games he takes less three-point attempts, only one today. It's like the teams that really stretch him away from the rim are the ones that really make him ineffective. So that's something to look out for when he's on the court. His defense was just okay. Aaron Gordon, 50% shooting. He was just fine. But he was also the biggest minus on the team, Aaron Gordon was. So maybe it wasn't all bad for Young. But, yeah, it was not his best game. 5 assists, though, that might be a season high for him.
I have it up in front of me. So let's take a look. I think that is a season high for him right now. Actually, it's a season high. But, I mean, he even didn't play that well against the Celtics. He was only 5 of 12. I mean, that's not terrible. But, I don't know. It's just something to look at. I mean, obviously, they're playing Sabonis the same amount of minutes as that, basically. Sabonis playing 27, Thad played 30, so I don't think you need to start Sabonis. But, you know, I wonder how many more minutes Sabonis gets, because Sabonis has been playing really well, and we talked about how he should replace Turner, but Turner's actually kind of turned around this past few games. His jump shooting's been decent, was 3-for-5 from 3 today. I mean, his jump shot looks better. It's going in at a higher rate. I don't know if it actually looks better, but it is going in, and he's playing. I think Turner's just playing better now that he's kind of got some games under his belt, because his first few he kind of struggled, but kind of figuring out the flow of the team now.
Yeah, for sure. We'll have to see. Like you said, Sabonis played almost as many minutes as Young. Corey Joseph played more minutes than Collison. So, you know, they got the nice sixth and seventh man going very nicely for them.
Yeah, but Collison, you know, he had that stretch where he kind of didn't play that well, but then he said it was because of a knee injury. So I wonder just if he's 100% healthy, because he had about 4 or 5 stretches where he was pretty bad. But then he in that Memphis game, when he had 30 points, he said it's the first time his knee has felt good since whatever that stretch started. So I wonder if something there. It'd be interesting to watch, because the Pacers have, I guess, they're going with 8 guys right now. So if anybody gets hurt, that means they're going to have to bring in Leaf or Joe Young or Damian Wilkins, like they had to do on Sunday against the Celtics. So just interesting to see. I kind of wish Oladipo had played. I don't know about you, had played Sunday or not Saturday against the Celtics, because it seemed like he was healthy. I think it was more a precautionary thing because they could have kept that win streak going, maybe.
Yeah, they played pretty well in that game, except for that third quarter, but we keep drifting far away from this game, I feel.
Yeah, it's because this game,
boring,
you know,
to play them twice in a week.
Yeah, in this game, they've thoroughly beat the Magic tonight. I mean, they had some scares for a few seconds, but they just pulled away. I mean, this was an expected win. I think they were a 4-point favorite coming in, so, and they handled their business at home. So, you know, now they got to travel to Houston, which will be a tough one. That's what we'll be talking about next. All right, welcome back in the Locked On Pacers podcast. So we did not do the show on a Monday, so we did not get the entire week. We're both claiming that we chose a Pacers 12-point win. It's Magic game. We're recording this on a – so did you. You know it too. Nice job. Recording this on a Monday evening after the Magic game. You're listening to this on a Tuesday. So we're going to take that out of our week. A little challenge right now, just updated. Tony has won 4 of the 6 weeks. 1 week I won, and then 1 week nobody won because we were so many points off. I still can't believe I didn't win last week. I was so there's been 2 of these weeks. The Celtics screwed me because they couldn't cut it close against that game. They should have maybe could have won that game, and the Knicks game a couple weeks ago screwed me too. But that's besides the point. So this week, let's say we look at the first game, right? So let's go to the first game, which is going to be the Houston Rockets. Houston is one of the best teams in the NBA. I'm going to pull up their standings real quick.
I got it. Second in offense, eighth in defense, eighth in pace, and they're 15-4, first in the Western Conference right now. They are so good.
Yeah, and they are led by, of course, probably the current frontrunner to be MVP of the league, James Harden, who's averaging.
Definitely.
32 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds a game, basically.
He was nasty in the first Pacers game too, when they won by 23 and he had 34 and 15.
And I don't think he even played that much in the fourth quarter.
He had 26 and 15 in 34 minutes. Ooh, that was bad.
Yeah. So the Rockets are good. They lead the league in 3-point attempts, I believe.
Yep.
They're shooting not that well. They're shooting in the low 30s. As a team, but they're taking so many threes. The Pacers issues with them last game was basically to start the game against the Rockets about 2 weeks ago. Eric Gordon just hit everything. It seemed like Clint Capella, you know, they didn't have an answer for him. And then Harden just picking them apart by driving the lane. That was like the three main issues. And now, unfortunately, Chris Paul is back.
Chris Paul is killing it, and it is so hard to stop this team when Chris Paul is scoring his 12.2 and dishing out his 10 assists and playing amazing defense, and he's got James Harden to run everything next to him. I don't know how you're going to beat this team unless you're the Warriors. Like, they are stacked.
Yeah, they're averaging 114 points per game. I mean, that would be awesome if it wasn't the Warriors were averaging 118, but I mean, it's ridiculous.
And IU grad Eric Gordon is having by far the best season of his career. Over 20 points still.
What's he at still? 20 something?
Yeah, 20 points and 3 assists.
IU grad, North Central grad.
Not even starting off the bench, he's doing that. Yeah, he's been amazing.
Didn't he start though? He started when Chris Paul was out though, I believe.
Yeah, yes, he did.
So I wonder, he's probably one of the front runners to win Sixth Man of the Year.
Easily. Far and away.
No, there's another guy out there. I'm blanking on his name currently.
Marcus Smart.
Yes, Marcus Smart. No, but there's – who am I blanking on? I think – was it Smart is going to maybe win Sixth Man of the Year? Yeah, I guess it's Smart. That was the other guy that thought might win Sixth Man of the Year. But it's too early to tell on those. So Houston's got a lot of stars, put it that way. They've got an MVP. They've got a Sixth Man of the Year. They've got a really good coach. They got a really good GM. They're just a really good team. That's why they're 15-4. And that's why if you're a Pacers fan, you should be a little nervous about this game coming up. So let's just start with – who's going to be the Pacers butcher? And you can't pick James Harden.
I can't pick Kyler, I'm assuming.
Who? Chris Paul? No. Harden. The Harden-Paul-less butcher, which there's two.
Picked Capella, and you were right, because he had 20 points and 17 boards. Safe bet again, just because he gets so many open looks around the basket, thanks to Harden and Paul. The rest of their roster is like Ryan Anderson and a bunch of good defenders. So I guess I'll go with Luke Richard and Bamute. He plays in his 20 whatever minutes per game, 26. He just shuts down his matchup and doesn't really screw up. He's shooting 62% from 2-point range this year. So hopefully he doesn't play a whole lot, or they can score on him, because if not, he's going to run a lot and he's going to shut down either Depot or Bojan.
Yeah, quick side stat, just kind of looked it up. So the Pacers lead the league in 3-point percentage overall, 40%, which I was surprised by. And actually, Houston is 17th with 36%. So that's just a side note. I know that had nothing to do with what you were saying. I just thought that was interesting. The Pacers are shooting better from three, but Rockets are probably taking 10 or more threes than the Pacers are per game. But I do think that, I mean, Quinn Capella is probably going to be the butcher.
Yeah,
you got to match for him. I mean, Turner's got to play really well. I don't know if Turner plays really well, whether he can match Capella.
Yeah, Capella's averaging 13 and 11.5 this year on 67.5% shooting around the basket. That is crazy good.
Yeah, so I think for my butcher, though, I'm actually going to pick Eric Gordon. So since Chris Paul returned, which was against, I want to say it was against the Grizzlies on the 18th, that sound right?
Who is their opponent after that?
It would be the Nuggets. The other game you were talking
about? I can't remember.
Well, since the Pacers game, Gordon has actually struggled a little bit. He's kind of fallen back to his mean. He's only put up 12, 13, 12, 8, and 12 points, and he missed one game with, I assume, with some kind of injury. So I think, though, he's going to have a good night. No, Bogdanovich is going to try to guard him, and they do a lot of off-ball screens to set up, or screen action to set up Gordon, you know, and he's not afraid to shoot from, like, the 25-foot line. So I think he'll have a pretty good night, and I think as long as, you know, he'll have his looks, so whether he makes them or misses them, that's going to be this entire game. Is the Rockets don't make their threes, Pacers can win, but if they're going to get a lot of looks and they make them, they're going to win. It's a, that almost that simple.
Yeah, they lead the league in makes per game. That's because they shoot so many, but they're still a really, really tough team to guard, and especially in Houston, where I don't know if they've actually lost a game at home yet.
Yeah, they are 6-3 at home.
Oh, wow.
They're actually better on the road.
They lost to Philly, Toronto, and Memphis at home.
Yeah, so they're actually better on the road. That's weird. If there's one sign of hope for Pacers fans out there, it's the fact that last year Pacers did win in Houston as part of that Los Angeles Clipper road trip, I think in mid-January, February range. It was kind of when the Pacers finally hit a little bit of a stride, were actually playing well. So there's that. I mean, the Rockets,
that might have been the Rockets
were pretty bad from
that
three.
Had to be the Rockets' worst. That had to be I was going to say, that had to be their worst three-point shooting game of the year last year.
Yeah, I want
to
look that up real quick. But I'm pretty sure the Rockets were terrible from three. They were awful.
How do you find game logs for there it is, for a team? All right. Against the Pacers. They actually lost both games to the Pacers last year.
They lost 117 to 108.
They lost both games to the Pacers. And in one game, they shot 22%. In one game, they shot 28%. So the Pacers apparently had their number last year.
Yeah, so in the game in Houston, Rockets were 10 of 45 from three. Harden was 1 of 9. Ariza was 0 for 7. Those were two of the guys. Gordon was 1 for 5. I mean, you know, it's going to take that kind of night to win. And I think the Pacers still barely won that game. You know, they won by 9 points.
You're not going to find better internet content than us looking something up live on a show.
I know, for real. I'm on the land of basketball, so I don't know which one you're on.
B-ball ref, the GOAT.
Yeah, I remember this game vividly in my mind because it was the point where the Pacers kind of turned it around for a few games. They beat them, they beat the Clippers, and it's probably part of their stretch where they actually like realized they had to win 15 of 20 to make the playoffs. 1 point last year, so that's why I remember this game. But throwing to the number, the Pacers in the first one. So what are we calling the Pacers X Factor? That's what we're calling it. So who is your Pacers X Factor in this game?
The Rockets are 6th in steals in the league, and I don't know. I think it's going to be important that Collison takes care of the ball, but I'm not thinking he's the X Factor because I don't think he's going to have that great of a game. We need to really define X Factor.
So,
is it the player that's going to have the best game above? Oh, man, your sore throat is not too good. Is it the player that's going to have the best game above expectations, or is it the player that's most important to success?
Sorry, everybody out there. My throat's a little sore. I would say the player that's going to have the best game.
Okay, you should go cough. That was something else.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had a cough. We're probably going to cut that out. Okay. You know what? We'll leave it in for whatever. But yes, sorry about that. I have a sore throat right now. That was really bad.
You sounded like Bane from Batman. That was crazy. All right. Okay. So the player's gonna have the best game. Wow. That was frightening. I'm gonna go with Oladipo at this one because he's guarded by Harden this time instead of Eric Gordon and Trevor Ariza, which James Harden does not try on defense that well, except for on post defense. So if Oladipo can keep moving off of screens and dribble the ball, then they'll have success with him in this one.
I like that one. I would have to say some combination of Turner or Sabonis because the Pacers cannot let Clint Capella get 17 rebounds and 20 points again if they're going to have any shot at winning. Second chance points will kill you against the Rockets because they're one of the best offensive teams in the league. And you give them another chance to score, they're going to score. So that's going to be the key. I don't even know. I wouldn't even know if the Pacers, I'd worry about defense, essentially. I know you play some D, but I would just try to keep the pace and just hope you can kind of like get the Rockets tired enough to not hit all their threes, you know, because that's probably kind of the only way you beat the Rockets.
Yeah, you got to hope for a high variance game and kind of catch them at the point of attack and flush them to the rim. So I agree that that is the integral part. And I'm going to go first on the score predictions, and I'm going to predict a kind of wild one here. I'm going to go 128-105 Rockets. I think they're going to blow the Pacers out.
I'm going to go 115-95 Rockets.
Yeah, they are really good. Like, their net rate, their offensive rating is 114, their defensive rating is 104. So they're basically outscoring teams by 10 points every 100 possessions, and there's about 100 possessions every game. So you can expect them to win by at least 10, and it's in Houston, so probably even more. So I predict a big Rockets win.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of the four teams we think can actually win a championship. You know what I mean? Like, legitimately. Like, yeah, the Warriors are probably better than them, but everybody says this. If the Rockets get hot for 4 or 7 games, they could win a series.
They're pretty dang good. So yes. After that game, they got quite the trip ahead of them.
Yes, they do. But the first game they play is a rematch against the team they beat on Friday, 107-104. They played the Toronto Raptors.
We could probably keep this one pretty brief since we literally just did a preview.
I was going to say, we don't need to go too deep into the Raptors. On that game, Kyle Lowry had the best game. He had 24 points. He had a stretch in the second quarter where I think he had almost all his points, it seemed like. He had a great second quarter. But Lance, that was a Lance game where fans of the Raptors are probably screaming, oh, let Lance shoot, let Lance shoot. And then Lance hit every three in the fourth quarter. Pacers won 107-104. I said that earlier, so. We don't need to go too deep into the Raptors. Who's your X factor in this game?
Let's see. Well, their first game was really interesting because OG and Anobi started and CJ Miles didn't play. And that's really the only difference. It'll be fun to see CJ again. But that was Lance's best game, and Bojan had a really nice game. Man, this is a hard one again. I'll go with one of the centers just because Valanciunas can't really defend in space. And Turner only had 7 points in that first game. And I think if he had a little more scoring, they could have kept themselves more above water than having to pull it out at the end. So I'll say Turner has a good game in this one. I think he has a lot to prove against this Raptors team, and you know, he'll be mad he didn't have a good game in that first one when he only had 7 points.
Okay. I think for my Pacer X factor, I'll probably go with Victor Oladipo. We didn't get to finish the game last time. Him or Lance. God, now I'm torn because Lance got that kind of revenge game. Lance had that thing against DeRozan. They like don't like each other. He got in a fight last year. Yeah. Lance almost took out his knee in the game on Friday. But I think Oladipo's going to have a good game just because he didn't get to finish. He would have had 30 points if he played the fourth quarter. He was getting kind of hot. And was kind of He had a couple heat check moments, so he got hurt. And I just, you know, I think, you know, the Raptors are considered the elite of the Eastern Conference. You know, that's not saying a lot. There's not a lot of elite teams in the Eastern Conference. But so I just think, you know, when you play a team that's made the playoffs 3 or 4 in a row, you want to kind of show your best player wants to show what he's got. And he's going against one of the best shooting guards and point guard duos in the league. We did this on during the when we went at the game. We kind of discussed who are the best point guard shooting guard duo in the NBA outside of the Splash Brothers. But I think Oladipo has a good game. I think, you know, he's going to have between 25 and 30.
Yeah, he definitely could. He had a pretty good, what do you have in the first one? 21, right?
Yeah, 21. He didn't play the final 6 minutes because he tweaked his knee.
Yeah, he could definitely have another good game. DeRozan is not a stellar defender at all. And, you know, Lance had a good game because of some of the game, too. He was guarded by Fred VanVleet, which was pretty funny. So imagine Oladipo being guarded by VanVleet for even 3 of those 6 minutes more. So that's a good pick. I like that we picked Oladipo and Turner. That means this will be a fun game.
Yeah, and it should be. So then who is your butcher?
A pissed off DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say something. I think DeRozan, he had a terrible game. He had 9 points in the play. He was pissed. At the end of the game, Lance, apparently on TV, it looked worse than it did live. But Lance looked like he just had a other hard sound on DeRozan and around. Nailed him in the knee.
Other way around. Apparently live, it looked worse than on TV.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Did I say that right?
That's all right. You got it backwards. But
yeah, we had a great view of that. I mean, we were sitting right on the like the corner where it happened, and live, I was like, oh man, is DeRozan gonna like tear his ACL right there? Like, Lance came in fast and he hit him really hard.
Yeah, it was, and he knocked him right to the ground, and DeRozan was pissed off right away. So, sorry about that. But he'll probably be upset and have a good game. And you know, at the end of the game, Corey Joseph, the former Raptor, was stayed on the court a little long, and we saw him shaking hands with Lowry and Van Vliet and one other guy. I can't remember. I think it was Jakob Poeltl. And DeRozan just bolted off the court. He wanted nothing to do with it.
He was off the court before the buzzer even sounded, it looked like. I mean, he looked pissed. And I think there's still some bad blood, maybe from that playoff series 2 years ago to last year at the end. I mean, I don't know why DeRozan liked the Pacers. I mean, Why, Lance?
Lance layup over seconds left.
Oh, that's right. That's such a stupid reason to get mad.
I mean, that was a stupid thing to do.
Yeah, but like, it's stupider to get mad over that. Like, you're the Raptors. You've been in the Eastern Conference Finals once. You've been in the playoffs like 4 years in a row. Like, you're a good team. Pacers really weren't that good of a team last year. Let Lance make a layup for the fans, and you're still going to beat them in the playoffs probably. If you had to play them.
Of them doing the same
thing. Yeah.
I think DeRozan's going to have a big game. He only shot like times in the first game.
He was pretty bad because I had my fantasy team and he laid an egg for me right there. So that didn't go so well. So what's your score prediction?
Fantasy. Yeah, 9 points might be his season low, averaging 23 a game, but he only took 16 shots, which he usually takes many more than that. I think his average per game is a little closer to 20. So, I think he's due for a big one.
Yeah. So what do you have for your score prediction?
I'll go 111-104 Raptors.
Oh, I'm going to pick a Pacers win. I'm going to pick 108-104.
Wow.
What's going to happen is they're going to beat the Raptors, but they're going to lose by like so many points, and you're going to have just a slight, like they're going to lose by like 40 to the Rockets, and I'm going to get screwed again.
+4, and you were -25 against the Rockets, 20, which means
20.
I
picked 115.95.
You are -4 for the week. And I was -23 against the Raptors, against the Rockets, 8 against the Raptors. So I am -19. So you are.
Like I said, they're going to lose by so much the Rockets, but then beat the Raptors by like slight points, and I'm going to lose the week still.
Well, they're already +12, so they have to get destroyed in one of these games for me to win. But I am going to win.
If they get destroyed by 40 points, the Rockets. It's a -28, and they win by 2. You still win.
This game, so.
Anything else you want to hit on for this podcast?
We just said the same thing. That's funny. Good. Lance has been over the last Rockets and Raptors game and the Magic game. His three highest point scoring games have been the last three games. So just be on the lookout for him, but. I totally believe that Banker's Life Lance is better than Road Lance, so we'll have to see how these next two games go.
That's fun. You get 18-point Lance 41 times a year. It's worth it.
Great, yeah. Do you have anything else you want to talk about, or is your throat too hurt and we should be done?
You know, this has been a weird podcast. I think if you've been a little bit – your wife has been a little funky. My throat's been sore. This might not have been our best show, but it's kind of funny. I say in the middle, I'm sorry if you guys hear my coughing or my apparently Bane voice. Yeah, I woke up with a sore throat this morning. It's been kind of rough.
Well, that's what happens when you travel and stay up late every.
All right,
Gotta have better hygiene than that.
You know what? I slept just, I'm not gonna get into it. Yes, it happens when you travel and then you wake up and it's just a different place, whatever. That's been today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. Shout out to Indiana Sports Coverage, who we are partnering with. They've helped us actually boost our audience a little bit. It seemed like we've been happy with that. You can follow Tony at Teased NBA, me at Friedman Adam 5, the picture of the corgi. That's me. Make sure to check in. I think we're going to have a show on Wednesday, previewing the Rockets with Eric Spiropoulos. He was on earlier this year. I think Tony's going to do that one. Then we'll have a couple more shows later in the week. And look forward to, again, us on Monday, and hopefully a healthy Adam who's not sounding like Bane.